with us.
Welcome. We're really glad to be here with you today and see all your faces, even with masks. And we're thankful to have the privilege to worship our God together and with all of you. So why don't you stand and let's worship together.
Let mercy fall on me.
You're Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful that we can come to the altar. And what we discover there is that you've given all of who you are so that we might have life, eternal life, and life to the full. And you offer that to us, and well, it's amazing how at times we kind of push that away, or we drift away from that. Yet, Lord, you set the table for us each and every day, reminding us that you came to save us and not condemn us. And Lord, as we might push away, as we might walk away, not a long walk, but still walk away, we confess that to you and ask that you would forgive us. For Lord, the truth is we all have bad moments. We have bad moods, bad days. We usually don't keep those to ourselves. We often share those with those around us. And then you give us a better perspective on life, a better perspective on what's going on in our mind, heart, and soul. And we thank you for that. We know that we can be kind of very much about ourselves. And what we desire to do is to be more and more like you, about you, that we might have your vision, your thoughts, your attitudes, your behaviors, because you've demonstrated your love for us by dying on the cross for us. And so, Lord, once again in these moments, help us to interact with you and do whatever spiritual business we need to do with you, that we might do that today. That as you have given us transformation, a fresh start, and a new beginning, Lord, help us to make good on that as we exit today by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're thankful that you're for everyone, everywhere, that you're for us in this moment, in this time with you. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, you can elbow, high five, whatever you'd like to do on the way. It's so much quieter now that you can't hug one another and get in a lot of conversations 6 feet apart, but we're doing the best. I want to keep encouraging you as you make your way. So I understand this will tell you how low on the tech scale I am. That if you're an online viewer and you go and just press on the bell, then you become a follower. And the advantage of that is that whenever anything new pops up that has to do with Squim Community Church, you'll get an alert to that, and you'll know that something good, or in some cases something very funny, is going on, and we'd like to post that to you. So if you'd like to do that, that would be a really good thing. The other thing I want to remind you, at least especially those locally, you should have received your ballot, and I want to encourage you to express your opinion, your views, the way you think things ought to go. The best way to do that in a governmental political scene is to vote. Vote, vote, vote. Let's see, what else am I supposed to tell you? Okay, Keith Sandell and the high school group often take a mission trip to Mexico, which had to be scrubbed this year. But here's a little information about what we're doing to help out Dora Faith Orphanage with the money, some of the money that we collected.
Hey, everyone. This is Keith Sandell, the youth director here at Squim Community Church. I just wanted to give you all an update about our Mexico mission trip. As many of you know, we had to cancel the trip due to the coronavirus. However, we are still able to bless the orphanage this year, which is super exciting. We're taking the Fund the Need money that we raised at the auction, over $14,000, and we're going to be sending that down to the orphanage to still bless them. The rest of the money that we raised at the auction, we're going to be holding on to for future mission trips, and we're going to reimburse our students for the money that they gave to the church. So we're really excited about the future that God has for us, and really excited about future mission opportunities. So thank you all so much for your time and your support, and we look forward to seeing you all soon.
So an awesome thing, thank you, that we're able to do that. As you might imagine, with all that's going on with the coronavirus and the ability of groups to even get into Mexico, the money that you gave at the auction that went towards funding the project, they can use that money today, and so we've sent it off. Speaking of sending off, it's Keith Sandell.
Boy, what a great video. That guy was, that was very impressive. So
he ought to have his own production company.
His own YouTube channel.
It's a YouTube channel? Yeah. Well, there you go. All right.
I've heard it's very good. But
low on the tech list. Low on the tech list.
Well, hey, now that we're done tooting my own horn here, let's go to a scripture passage here. We're in Luke chapter 4. Got some good stuff here. So it goes like this. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the eyes on the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scriptures you've just heard have been fulfilled this very day. This is God's word.
Thank you, Keith. We're in the last installment of Authentic. Today we're going to talk about authentic compassion. What does it look like to be genuine, not an imitation, not a knockoff, but the real thing, real authentic compassion? Our scripture passage makes it very clear. As Jesus took the scroll from Isaiah, he unfurled it and he read these words about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives, release for them, that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free. Now, all of these find the favor of the Lord. Whenever we reveal compassion or extend compassion to someone else, we are sharing the favor of the Lord. Jesus clearly came to bring a divine, practical example of what compassion towards others is all about. So what is it that Jesus wants to do in us and do in us in the world? First of all, he came to bring help to the poor. The people that have, well, let's just say, have less than other people have. Some people are, well, they're down in a particular material way, a financial way. They might be down emotionally or relationally. They might be a little poor. Jesus calls us in the Beatitudes. He calls out the fact that we need to be spiritually poor as we seek him. And we could use more. Couldn't we use more when it comes to our relationships, to what's going on in our life, our ability to impact those around us? And Jesus knows that, and he calls us to that. In fact, his word is a very enriching word for those that fall into the category of have less than those around them. Two, we see that he came to heal the brokenhearted. Boy, it's easy to have a lot of brokenheartedness around. Those are the ones that have been let down in life. And when it comes to hurts, sometimes it's physical hurt. What hurts more than I think the exterior hurts are the internal hurts that we suffer. The fact that we've been rejected by someone. The fact that we've not been included as people have moved forward. Sometimes we're broken of heart and soul. And God's desire is to mend that in us. Help us in our moment of need. And Jesus always kept looking out. As he went about his ministry, he was looking out for those that were brokenhearted. Those that needed some friendship and some compassion. Some freedom from all that resentment that they're carrying around. That kind of forgiveness makes a big, big, big difference in healing our hurts, doesn't it? The third thing that Jesus did is he came to free the imprisoned. He came to set the captives free, those that are locked up. And while we know about being locked up, we've seen it around us. At some moments in our life, maybe we were locked up too. Substance abuse. We're locked up because we have, again, such a great carrying of resentment and regret in this world. It's amazing how our guilt and our shame locks us up, keeps us from having the whole and healthy relationships that we desire. Jesus came to free up those that are in prison. Jesus says to hear my truth is to be set free. Not weighted down, not pulled down in life, just the opposite. He frees us up from all that guilt and shame, all that stress and worry. All of that regret and resentment that we carry with us. He unlocks the lock through the Holy Spirit and he says, go be free. Go be free. He also came to bring sight to the blind. People are blind in a lot of different ways, aren't they? They are people who are shut out to us in our blindness. And we need to go back and be like Jesus and keep our eyes on the horizon, not only for the brokenhearted, but for those that seem to have some spiritual blindness. Could be physical blindness. It could be a blindness of our own making, of our own lack and willingness to confront that or confess that. He wants everyone in the circle. He doesn't want anyone shut out. And Jesus wants to declare that you don't have to go on being blind any longer. I've come to give you sight, and that sight is an eternal perspective. all the way down to the very practical perspective of just seeing what's going on around us. Jesus came to come alongside those that are oppressed, the kicked around in the world. And it's easy to get kicked around in this world. Sometimes we're kicked around culturally. Sometimes we're kicked around politically. Sometimes we're kicked around, or we're a kicker of others because we haven't heard, haven't put into play the Word of God in our life. Yeah, Jesus wants to speak up for everyone that cannot speak up for themselves. They're not in a position of power. They're not in a position of leverage in the world. And Jesus says, no, I'll speak for them. I'll speak for them. All of these are the favor of the Lord. We don't have to be poor any longer. We can be rich in many things. We don't have to think that in our brokenness of heart that we move forward in life without Him or without others. We all know we have the potential to be locked up on the inside by one thing or another. And how often we drop our gaze and we're blind to something. Instead of looking to embrace it, we're trying to run away from it, hide it from our sight. And I think we all know what it's like to be oppressed. We all went through middle school. Oh, those could be dark days, can't they? And we feel a little oppressed. As you live in the world today, it's easy to feel oppressed. And with compassion, we allow Christ to make a difference in us. And along with Christ, we go and make a difference, speak up for those that are oppressed in our world. So Jesus came to be an example of compassion, but He also calls us to compassion. And He calls us to emulate Him. Remember, a disciple is a follower. We're followers of Jesus, and therefore we should imitate Jesus as we go. We ought to take Jesus' agenda, and it ought to become our agenda. So how do we make Jesus' agenda our agenda? Well, first of all, it's all about caring. We need to care like Jesus cared. Be full of love for others. Follow the example of Christ who loved you. Jesus loves us unconditionally. How do we extend that to other people? We need to have the same focus that Jesus had. Jesus said to the man, follow me. But the man said to the Lord, but first let me go bury my father. Now, what he means is I have to go home, I have to live with my father until my father passes away. And once he passes away and he's buried, then I can come and follow you. Not an immediate response. Then Jesus said, then another man said, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go home to my family. Again, go home and tend to things before I'm ready to follow you. Jesus said, anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God. Again, a very powerful statement. And I believe what Jesus is saying is once we're in and we're doing the work of Jesus, there's no reason to doubt that. To go back to our old ways, to go back to our old thinking. And in this passage, Jesus wants to make the point that the best time to become a follower of Jesus is right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Oh, I know, I'll wait till I'm on my deathbed, and then I'll receive Jesus and I'll go to heaven. Well, you will. But look at all that you've missed about having Jesus be the Lord of your life. Allowing his compassion to pour over you as you extend compassion to others around you. Now, we need to have the right focus, the same focus of compassion that Jesus has. And I think there are two things that kind of pull us away. One thing that pulls us away from having the same focus that Jesus had is if we're trying to impress others. Now, the truth is we love being loved. Do you love being loved? Yeah. We love being loved, and we love being liked, and we love being included in the circle. Well, there's a few introverts that maybe would rather not be in that circle. But the thing is are we waking up every day to impress somebody else, or are we waking up every day to authentically carry out compassion and what we say and do? And we all have periods, times, moments where we don't do that. And if it's not about impressing someone else, it's just being self-centered. And let's not get distracted by that. The second distraction, and this is very true, I think, in our society that we experience, and that is it's not about becoming a rich person, having lots of money and lots of things. In fact, the great thing about life is not about things. It's not about things, it's about people. And maybe that's why in Luke 12:15, Jesus makes a very good statement about the fact that life is not about money. It's not about fame, and it's not about fortune. And if we take both of those things, when that becomes the focus of our life, if that becomes the viewpoint at which we live our lives, then we miss the mark, because that was not Jesus' focus. His focus was to be compassionate to everyone. We also need to have Jesus' concern. And Jesus had a lot of concern for people. Jesus had concern, I think, for two particular groups. Number one, he had a passionate concern for children. Mark 10. People brought children to Jesus hoping he might touch them and heal them, bless them. But the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. What are you guys doing? Why are you sending these children away? Don't you understand? For they are the very center of life in the kingdom. And it's interesting, he's talking in the present tense, and I hear this, and it's not a bad remark, but I want to put it in perspective. People often say, let's do this for the children or the youth because they're the future of the church. No, they're not just the future of the church, they're the present church. The present church. And clearly, Jesus has a very clear agenda when it comes to children, that they should be cared for, that there should be concern rolled out towards them. The other group is the group that really can't speak up for itself. The people who are suffering, the people who are ignored. Jesus says, "Woe to you because you load people down with burdens they cannot hardly carry. And you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." Now he's talking to the Pharisees. And they had so many rules and regulations that it was a tremendous burden to people to try to be orthodox in their faith, carry out their faith, have what they believe be their worldview and shape them. That's what one of the things I love about Jesus is it's just about Jesus and it's not about Jesus plus or Jesus and. He calls us to have a concern for children and he calls us to have a concern for those who are ignored in life, maybe far off in life. The final example that Jesus gives us is that to be compassionate means that we're going to have to be sacrificial with our time, talent, treasure, and touch. You were far from God, but Christ offered his life blood as a sacrifice and brought you near to God. His example is that we are to love, to serve, and to give. That's what this meal is all about. This meal is the compassion meal. This is the meal where Jesus says, I not only love you, but I've come to serve you and to empower you to go and serve in love. And how often people believe that this meal is about some other agenda. No, it's an agenda about helping the poor and healing broken hearts and unlocking all those captives, all those prisoners from whatever it is that is holding them back and holding them down in life. When we see life from this perspective, it causes the scales on our eyes, so to speak, to fall off. And we begin to view others in a compassionate way. View others as Jesus views them and cares for them. Jesus is about those that cannot speak up for themselves. They're not in a position to leverage who they are or what they believe. And this is a call to us to be those that give voice to those that can't speak. Love, give, serve. And on that night, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He gave thanksgiving to God and then he looked at the disciples and he said, "This is my body that I willingly give for you. I compassionately give for you because if I don't die, you won't live." And then he took the cup and he poured it out. He held it out and said, "This is my blood that I will shed for you." And we're reminded that every time we break the bread and we pour the cup, we need to remind ourselves that he is a true, compassionate Savior. That he's a God that loves us unconditionally, and that ought to launch us each and every day to be authentic in who we are as faithful followers of Jesus Christ. You have an all-in-one kit that I'll walk you through right now. Take the very top little band off. and you will find a wafer inside of that. Let me declare to you that this is Christ's body given for you. Then pull back the tough one. And let me declare to you that this is Christ's blood, that he was willingly, heartfelt, faithful, ready to give his life for our life. Let's pray together. Lord, compassion. We're thankful that you're so compassionate towards us, that you are such a profound example of what Isaiah was talking about. Hence, Jesus' declaration, and that once again changed everything. And Jesus, we know that you've come to change everything, that you are in the process of reconciling everything to you, be it us, be it all of your people. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you've come to help. You've come to heal. You've come to give us freedom when we're locked up. That you give us sight that goes beyond our own selfishness, our own needs, me and mine. That you've come to speak up and call us to speak up for those that are oppressed. And Jesus, we are thankful for this reminder that when we do all of these things, we are carrying out and sharing your favor with those around us. And there's no better place to be, no more favorable place to be than in your presence. Jesus, we thank you for who you are and all that you're doing to transform us on the inside. And then from there, Lord, to move out with the opportunity to be compassionate to others. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Feel free to stand if you'd like to sing this song with us. Your love.